Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor. And as you can see, it is just me, myself, and I today. I am your Monday Mom Mentor, and I am so excited about what I have been learning recently and I get to share with you. So this is a very special edition of the Mom Mentors where I hope to equip and encourage you to nurture the hope of Christ in your home by helping you break down the habits that haven't worked for you before. All those times when you've tried and failed, let's figure out why. And I'm going to help you structure a habit that actually works for you in your specific situation. So there's no doubt about it. We are living through a really wild time in history right now, right? With the pandemic, sometimes it feels like it doesn't affect us that much. And then sometimes it feels like it's just overwhelming, right? So for a lot of people, and this may have been you, it was already hard to find ways to build a foundation of faith in your home. And then even if you did have healthy habits in place before the pandemic, chances are they just went right out the window because schools closed and now your kids are at home all the time, or you were forced to work from home, or you or your husband lost your job. Everything just kind of got like thrown into the wind, right? So, you know, if you were regularly praying with your kids on the way to school or on the way to daycare, maybe you're struggling to find time to pray with them now, even though they're home with you all day and you're probably thinking to yourself, why can't I find the time for this? This is ridiculous. You know, if you had a good routine with just you and your kids at home, but now your husband is also home all day, you know, kind of in and out and grabbing snacks and you're like you're always around, that can throw a wrench in the best laid plans too. So, and none of these things are bad, having our kids at home, having our husband at home, none of those things are bad, but they throw off our best laid plans, right? So the first thing I want to remind you is that it's not your fault. So as moms, it's so easy to beat ourselves up for not living up to our own expectations. But I'm here to tell you, it's time to let go of the guilt, the mom guilt. And we're going to start approaching habit formation with curiosity instead of self-flagellation. Okay, so we're going to ask some questions. And if you have some questions during this, I am going to pop it over to the Facebook group once in a while to check if there's any questions or comments. And other than that, I will keep going, but I'll come and check once in a while. So back to my notes. All right, so we're going to ask some questions. What has worked for you in the past? What hasn't worked? We're going to see if we can figure out why certain habits have stuck and others haven't. The process we're going to explore together is about trying new things and assessing them and then tweaking them to make them truly fit our lives. It's not about trying to start something new and then beating ourselves up for not succeeding, then assuming we can't do it. No. I believe that every Christian mom, including you, can confidently build a foundation of faith in her kids through tiny habits that add up over time. And that includes you. Even if you have no time, or your kids are always treading in your ears, or if you're bad at being consistent, which is especially tricky now that our days just don't have a lot of structure, I promise you, this is for you. So there's a lot of new research on habit formation that I'm exploring. You may have seen the habit series that I did in the past, and I feel like this new book that I'm reading right now breaks it down even further and makes it even more accessible. I'm really excited about it. So the book I'm reading right now is called Tiny Habits, The Small Changes That Change Everything by BJ Fogg. And it has caused so many aha moments for me that I just really had to share it with you. Before we do, let's read some poetry. Have you ever heard the story of Melinda May? I posted it in the group last night to see if anybody could figure out why. So this is a short poem by Shel Silverstein. Let me share it. Have you heard of tiny Melinda May who ate a monstrous whale? She thought she could. She said she would. So she started in right at the tail. And everyone said, you're much too small. But that didn't bother Melinda at all. She took little bites and she chewed very slow, just like a good girl should. And in 89 years, she ate that whale because she said she would. So this silly poem illustrates something very true about habit formation. Strong habits are created with little bites, or as BJ Fogg says, with tiny habits. And you're probably going to be surprised at how tiny. So let's talk about what it takes for us to actually do any behavior, not just a habit, but anything at all. So BJ Fogg has a really simple diagram called the Fogg Behavior Model, and I'm actually going to show it to you and teach it to you because I think that it's really going to help you see why some things in your life aren't succeeding and why some things are. So I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to pull up this website. And I'm, like I said, this is like amazing. Once I understood this, suddenly all these things became super clear to me as to why certain things weren't working in my life. All right. All right. So here's my screen. Oh yeah. And I'm just going to explain it using the book here because it is a really great way of explaining it. Ah, where did it go? Sorry. Okay. All right. So I'm going to explain how behavior works, not just habits, but behavior, by teaching you this fog behavioral model. It'll just take a minute. So behavior happens when three things come together at the same time. We have motivation over here, we have ability, and we have prompt. So you'll see that behavior equals motivation, ability, and the prompt at the same moment. Okay, so you can visualize this model in two dimensions. Along this vertical axis here, we have the level of motivation for a behavior, and it can range anywhere from high, this is things you're really motivated to do, to low, which are the things you are definitely not motivated to do. For me, I am not motivated to make my bed. Okay. So, and then along the horizontal axis is the ability to do a behavior. It's also a continuum like the other one. So on the right side is high ability. These are things that are very easy to do. And over here are things that are very hard to do. I have low ability to do these things. All right. So suppose you wanted somebody to donate to the Red Cross. If they have really high motivation and if it's easy for that person to do, they'll be here in the upper right-hand corner of the model. When a person here gets prompted to donate, they will do the donation behavior. So in contrast, if someone has low motivation to donate to the Red Cross, and if it's hard for them to do, they'll be here in the lower left-hand corner. If they don't want to do it, and you make it really hard, like you ask them to write a check and mail it in, they're not going to do it at all. When that person is prompted, they get a letter in the mail or whatever, they're not going to do it. So there's a relationship between motivation and ability. So this curved line here, that's called the action line. It shows this relationship. If someone is anywhere above this action line when they're prompted, they'll do the behavior. And in this case, you know, they'll donate to the Red Cross. However, if they're below the action line when prompted, they will not do the behavior. So if someone is below the action line, we need to get them above it for the prompt to instigate the behavior. So either we need to increase the motivation, right? So if we're here, something's hard to do and we have low motivation, maybe we can increase their motivation to do this. Maybe we can share some specific stories about how the Red Cross has helped people. Oh, or we need to increase the ease of it to do. So maybe it's simply texting some, you know, saying yes to a text message saying, will you donate to the Red Cross? $20. And you just text yes back and it's super easy. Then they don't need a super high level of motivation to do what you want them to do. They just need it to be easy. Now, the best thing to do is increase the motivation and the action, which will make it more likely that they'll actually do the behavior that you want them to do. So this model applies to all human behavior. So in summary, when the motivation, the ability, and a prompt come together at the same moment, that's when the behavior will occur. If any of the three elements is missing, the behavior won't happen. So we are going to look at this in terms of family faith habits. All right, so let me stop sharing. All right. So if that was confusing, we're going to go into it a little bit deeper, I promise. All right, so let's look at this in terms of doing devotions with our kids. Something probably a lot of us want to do, right? So in order for any behavior to happen, we have to be motivated and it has to be easy enough, right? If I know my kids are going to grumble about devotions, I'm not going to be very motivated. If I have a big plan for doing devotions and singing and prayer, that's a lot of work. So on the ability line, it's going to be hard to do. I'm not motivated. And it's hard to do. So any prompt I try to use to get myself to do devotions with my kids is going to fail. I could put a big fat sign in my window saying, do devotions at 9 a.m. And I am just going to ignore it because I'm not motivated. And it's too hard. Now, that is not my fault. Now, repeat with me. Repeat after me. It is not my fault. It's behavioral science. It is the way our brains are wired. So we're not going to rewire our brains. We're going to use the way that God made our brains to make this work. So we're going to tweak one of the variables, the ability. So let's say that all I want to do with them is read one verse. I have just made this drastically easier. So even if I'm worried that my kids are going to grumble, I know it's going to be quick and easy, so I'm more likely to just go for it and try it. Now, if I also say to my kids, Everyone go grab a granola bar and then we'll read this one verse together while you're eating it. I know they're not going to grumble because they have a snack. I've just increased my motivation and my ability, making it actually very likely that I'm going to do this behavior, unless I have no granola bars in the house. So, you know, do what works for you. So we've looked at the motivation and the ability, and the last aspect I need in order for these devotions to happen is, remember, there's behavior equals motivation, ability, and prompt. I need something to remind me to do this. I don't need a reminder because I'm lazy or because I'm forgetful. So put those excuses out of your vocabulary. You are not lazy. You are not forgetful. You need a reminder because you're human. I need a reminder because I'm human, because this is the way my brain is wired. So my prompt has to be something that happens normally in my day. Maybe it's a meal. For me, I've used read aloud time, which we normally do after breakfast. So I've discovered that it's easy to gather my kids when I'm going to read to them out loud because they're excited. They like it when I read to them. So I gather the boys, but before I read any novel, we do our daily Bible reading and discussion and prayer. Sometimes it's super quick. Sometimes it lasts longer. It lasted for like 20 minutes today. I was shocked. But so we have our three elements. I'm motivated because I know it's important and that they're probably not going to grumble, right? Because they know that something they really love is coming after. Number two, I know it's not going to take too long. It doesn't always take 20 minutes. I know it's usually pretty quick. And three, I have a daily prompt, which is the read aloud time. Now, since we've been doing this for a few months, if I don't read the Bible with them in the morning, I feel like my day is just missing something. So, and to be clear, this does happen sometimes. It happened on Friday, actually. Somehow our day got going without read aloud time, so we didn't do devotions either. My prompt never occurred, so I didn't read the Bible with them. That's why it's important to pick a prompt that occurs regularly. You don't want to pick a prompt that just shows up once every 2 weeks. And just to backtrack a little bit, I didn't beat myself up for not doing it on Friday either. I just said, it felt like something was missing and I knew what it was, but I didn't go, oh, Christy, you're an awful person. I can't believe you forgot to do that. Ugh. We just picked it up again today. It's okay. So let's talk about you. What have you tried before that didn't work? What are the things that you wanted to do with your kids, but you just couldn't do consistently? I gotta say, for a very long time, I wanted to do devotions with my kids in the morning consistently, and I couldn't. So we're gonna run some more scenarios through the model to see what you could change. And I hope that it's gonna kind of tweak some ideas in you as well. So feel free to leave some comments here as I'm talking, so that we can kind of share with each other some of the aha moments that we're having. So if you go, oh, that's why that didn't work, or oh, that's why this is working, leave it in the comments so that we can kind of inspire each other. So let's say you want to pray with your kids every day. Some point during the day, you want to pray with them. That's a good goal. I like that. So the first question we should ask is, do you have a prompt? The prompt is crucial. It serves as a reminder to do the behavior. If you're trying to pray with your kids at some nebulous time of day, it's never going to happen. I mean, you'll remember it maybe sometimes, like one a day out of 100, but it's not going to become a habit. And it's not because you're lazy or a bad person or forgetful. It's because you're human and you need a prompt. Remember, it's because you're human, right? This is our way our brains are wired, and God wired our brains like that. So it's not your fault. We're just going to figure out how to use what we have been given to do this well. Okay, so I've mentioned this before when I've talked about habit formation, but we have to attach our new habit to something that we're already doing. It's like Velcro. Let's say we have this new habit and we want to stick it to this wall that is our life. Well, it's not going to work unless we have something that's already stuck to the wall of our life, right? The Velcro attaches to the Velcro of the other habit and it sticks. We need the current habit in order to help that new habit stick. That current habit, whether it's breakfast time or bedtime, serves as a reminder to do the new habit. So in this case, we need to pick a prompt for praying with our kids. So maybe that'll be at bedtime. Maybe you live right behind a fire station and you have sirens going off every day. So maybe you could pray with your kids every time you hear a siren. That could work. That wouldn't work for me. We never hear sirens. But you want to pick something that does happen on a regular basis. So right now, as you're listening, type one potential prompt into the comments. I'm going to wait for you to do it. So what could be your prompt for praying with your kids regularly? Or if you're already doing this, what is your current prompt? So I remember Tara telling me once that she was praying with her kids in the van on the way to school. obviously that doesn't work right now. What is something that could work in your life right now as a prompt to pray with your kids regularly? Maybe it's breakfast, maybe it's lunch or supper or bedtime or nap time or I don't know, whatever else you do every day that is easy. Like maybe you do a bath time every day with your kids. Okay, so let's say, just for example, we are going to attach our new prayer habit to bedtime, but it's still not happening. Well, maybe you don't have the ability line. And by ability, I don't mean that you don't know how to pray. Although that may be the case, and that's okay too. I have needed to learn how to pray out loud. It felt very uncomfortable to me for a long time. So my ability was, it was hard for me. Or maybe your expectations were too high. Maybe your prayers are really long and your kids are like, this is boring. Maybe you were expecting them to pray out loud when they weren't ready. So if you want to pray with your kids, you need to make it crazy easy, because the easier it is, the more likely you'll be to actually do it. So this is actually the whole premise behind this tiny habits idea, that when we first incorporate the habit, we do it in baby steps. So on that fog behavior model and that little map, you're going to make it further to the right, making your new habit easier and easier to integrate so that you need less of the remaining component, which is motivation, which we'll talk about in a second. But when he's talking about tiny habits, he's talking about things like, after I brush my teeth, I'm going to floss one tooth. That's how easy he's talking about. So for you or for us who want to start a new prayer habit, if we've, you know, we're starting from scratch, we may want to just say, you know, as we hear the siren, God, please be with that person and may they know that you love them. Make it so easy that you can do it every time. You have to really bump it to the easy end of that graph. And as you're going, you will probably find that as it becomes a habit, prayers are going to become longer, your kids are going to join in more, but start with your expectations super low. That is how it actually gets integrated. Super, super small. All right, so let's say you did attach your new prayer habit to bedtime and you made it short and easy, but it's still not happening. There's that third thing. Maybe you don't have the motivation. It's pretty hard to get yourself to do something that you don't want to do. So you have two options. So you can decide that this isn't the right habit for you right now. And there's no judgment here. Maybe you need to try something that you're more excited about instead. Oh, so you're going to either ditch it for now, or you're going to ask God to give you the motivation. That is one thing it doesn't talk about in the book. We don't always just have to scare up motivation in ourselves. God can give us some of that, right? The problem with motivation is that it's kind of fickle. I have certainly noticed this in my kitchen. I'm super motivated to clean the kitchen once in a while, but the other days I have zero motivation, so it doesn't get done. It's not that I'm lazy. I would not consider myself a lazy person, although sometimes when I'm looking at the kitchen, I just say, well, I'm too lazy for that. It's really just that motivation comes and goes like this, right? If I want to make cleaning my kitchen a regular habit, I'm going to have to alter the other parts of that equation, the prompts and my ability. I have to make it super easy. In fact, I've noticed this before, that when I approach cleaning my kitchen with a tiny starter step, like I tell myself, I'll just clean the cups. I'll just put the cups in the dishwasher. That's it. Or I'll just clear the table. Or I'll just wipe down this one corner of the counter. It's often easy enough that it kind of like restores my motivational tank to get the whole thing done. But I have to start with something super easy and tell myself that it's okay if I just do the easy starter step. So that motivation, remember, is a bit fickle. That's the line that's the hardest to change. That's why we need to focus on solidifying the prompt and ensuring that our habits are as easy as they can possibly be. Those are the two things that we have the most control over. Okay, so your first job here is to figure out what you want. Okay, what do you want? Let's say you want to be able to talk to your kids naturally about God. Great. What are the actual behaviors that are going to get you there? That's not really just going to come out of nowhere. And I can't say, here's my behavior, talk to my kids naturally about God, right? We need some very specific examples of, let's say, some bedtime behaviors. So you could start praying a Bible verse over your child each night. That will help open the doors for natural conversations about God. You could ask your kids where they saw God at work during the day, if they're a little older and can kind of think abstractly. Or you could ask them what a bad part of their day was and help them see how God was at work even in that situation. Even if each of these is a simple thing you could do at bedtime to create a culture where it's normal to talk about God. Or let's just say you want to develop a regular devotional routine. How could you design a habit that you would find motivating and easy? So first you need to make sure you actually want to do this. You can't create a habit that makes you go, oh, time to do this now, right? You're not going to do it. So if you have a devotional book that you hate, throw it in the recycling. You're never going to get around to it. Second, you're going to need a prompt. Will it be a meal, after toothbrushing, during a drive, a place you're all in, once per day? I don't know your family. You know your family best. So third, okay, so the first was motivation. Make sure it's something you want to do. Second, you need a prompt. And the third is that third thing in that equation, the ability. You need to make sure your habit is as easy as possible. What would be the easiest thing for you? Could you read from a devotional app? Maybe you have an app that you'd like to pull up in the morning for yourself, and maybe you could just leave it open and just read it to your kids during breakfast. Maybe you could turn on a kids' devotional podcast. I haven't listened to any regularly. I know Keys for Kids has one. I'm sure we could come up with a list of devotional podcasts if that was something you wanted. Or maybe you could just open the Bible and read one verse. So for me, you may have heard my story before. I made this big plate. I decorated it when I was with my husband once, and on like one of those paint a clay pot dates. And I put it on the table and I put the Bible on it. So the Bible was already there, and it was a devotional book we were using at the time. So it was super easy. So my prompt was breakfast, and I saw that book and it was easy. And all I had to do was open it up to the page and read it. It was so easy. And that's how I actually got into the habit of doing devotions with my kids in the morning, was having it right in front of my face and having the prompt of breakfast time. Or you could just, you know, pull out an actual Bible. It doesn't have to be a devotional, and read one verse. That's it. You could just say, my goal is one verse. Whatever it is, make sure it is the easiest possible thing that you can think of. Remember, we have to start easy or we'll never get the foundation built. It's not a cop-out to make the habit excruciatingly tiny. Remember, like the flossing of the one tooth? In fact, for the first little while, maybe your habit needs to be that you open the Bible. And that's it. You can say, this is my bare minimum. I'm just going to open my Bible. And then you can say, I get extra credit anytime I read one verse. So, you know, that might end up being the starter habit, like my habit of clearing the cups. It often gets me started, but I don't feel guilty if I only clean up the cups. There was an example in the book of a lady who wanted to learn how to make breakfast. She just could never bring herself to make breakfast for herself. So her starter habit, all she had to do in the morning was turn on the stove for a few seconds. And then she started, you know, putting the pot on the stove, turning on the stove, putting on the pot. Then she would turn on the stove, put on the pot, put in some water. And then eventually it became that she would make breakfast oatmeal for herself almost every day because she just started this habit of just turning on the stove. So if you need to start with just opening the Bible and not even reading from it, that's okay. So we've got those three elements: motivation, ability, and prompt. And the fourth thing that's actually really important is that you need to celebrate every time you do your new tiny habit. This is going to help you feel good, and we naturally want to do things that make us feel good. So when you're done, you can shout, we did it! Look at us, guys, we did it! Or give your kids a high five. Hey, we finished devotions for the day. Awesome job, guys! Kids are really great at celebrating, and they will enjoy getting into this. You can use a sticker chart or something if you want to, but don't make it complicated. Remember, it has to be easy. Okay, so remember Melinda May, the who ate the whale bite by bite? She didn't eat the whale because she wanted to, or because it brought her joy, because she did it because she was trying to prove something to someone else. That isn't what we want. We're going to change together because it makes us feel good. And we're going to change because that's what we want to do. BJ Fogg says that people change best by feeling good, not by feeling bad. That's why we need to stop beating ourselves up for failing and start celebrating each of our little tiny successes. So I'm going to give you some action steps. And I'll type these into the comments here or into the description too, so you can go back and look at it. And when you do these action steps, I'd love for you to type them into the comments or send me an email or a message. If you don't want other people to see it, that's fine too. So tell me about it, what you're going to do. So first action step, decide what you want. Make sure it's a specific behavior, not a goal or a dream like, I just want to become more consistent with devotions. That's great. That's a good aspiration. But we need to figure out, what is the actual behavior I need to do in order to become consistent at devotions? So first decide what you want. What's that behavior that you're going to target? And then two, you're going to brainstorm the tiniest possible version of this habit. Something that takes 30 seconds or less. There's your time limit. Has to be done in 30 seconds. Okay? And then your three, you're going to decide what your prompt is going to be. And then four, you're going to try it out for a week. 7 days, that's it. And make sure you celebrate every single time you do it. Woohoo! Give yourself a victory! I'm awesome! And don't beat yourself up when you don't. If it doesn't work, we're going to tweak it to make it easier. So I'd love to know how it goes for you. So if this has inspired you, let me know. I'm actually considering making some sort of like tiny habits challenge so that we can grow together. And I'd love to know if you'd be up for something like that, where we kind of like all pick a little tiny, tiny habit and it can help you make it smaller and figure out a prompt and stuff. And then we would, you know, do it together for a few weeks. That's kind of what I'm thinking, but let me know if that's something you'd be interested in. So thanks for listening, and remember to let me know how your action steps have gone. So just to refresh, number one, what do you want to do? Two, make it tiny. Three, what's your prompt? And four, try it. Okay. All right. I look forward to hearing how your new teeny, 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 tiny habit, remember 30 second max, are going to go. All right. Bye guys.